Hey, this is Dan, dialing in a Hacker Public Radio a little late. No excuses, I'm lame. But anyway, today we're going to talk about boot prompt parameters, stuff you can pass to the kernel through boot prompt. And before we do that, let's take a quick review of what we talked about already regarding bootloaders, which would be primarily the way that you would pass information to the kernel upon boot. So we talked about in the past two main bootloaders. One was Grub and the other was Lilo. And of course Grub is the bootloader of the gods. We all remember that from my previous episode. Now, Lilo and Grub both get installed typically into the master boot record or into the boot or root of your boot portion of your file system, your partition, whatever you want to make bootable. Again, it could be a separate boot partition or it could be just your root partition, and it installs itself into the first 512 bytes right there of that partition. Now, if you're going to install Lilo or Grub into a partition as opposed to the master boot record, you are going to need another bootloader and a master boot record that could initiate the bootloading process from that said partition to kick in Lilo or Grub at that point. In Grub terms, it's called chain loading, which you could chain load and allow you to kick into the boot partition and you'll be golden and good to go. Anyway, Grub, Lilo, again, the deficiencies between from Lilo compared to Grub is that you have to be careful to initialize Lilo anytime you make a change. And that's going to also be important that if you want any of your boot parameters that you save in your Lilo.conf file to take effect, you're going to have to rerun Lilo after you edit your Lilo.conf. The Grub menu.lst file, you will not have to edit or reinitialize Grub after you edit. It automatically pulls it up. It's not a problem. So that's another win for Grub right there. Now, let's talk about boot parameters and what you would actually use boot parameters for. Boot parameters, there are basically two types. One either gets passed to the kernel or it gets passed to a driver or a module. Now, let's not call it a module at this point. Let's call it a driver, because when I think of modules, I think of modules that are not compiled into the kernel, but are separate and get called during the boot up process, or you call them manually later on down the line. Anyway, you can't pass parameters, or you don't pass parameters to modules, so to speak, that are not compiled into kernel. You only pass those to drivers or modules that are compiled into the kernel. So you pass boot parameters to the kernel, to the driver that's compiled into the kernel. You could also pass information to the init process or to change the init process. Again, the boot prompt allows you to pass this information. If you're passing it to a driver, you're going to specify just like any other boot parameter. We've already looked at some boot parameters to begin with when we talked about the different image settings, particularly for Linux in Lilo and Grub. One of those was the RO for read-only. One of them was root equals for specifying the root device. And there's other parameters like no ACPI and a few other things. You could pass init equals to change the init program that runs instead of running the init application. You could change it to bin.sh, and we'll cover that in just a minute. Now, when you are going to specify a boot prompt parameter, a couple guidelines you need to follow. One, there are no spaces in the argument, so it's going to be RO for read only or init equals slash sbin slash init. There would be no spaces, it would be just all one line. You do not put any spaces inside each argument that you pass. Every argument must be separated by a comma, and you don't need to pass spaces in between those. So it would be init equals slash sbin slash init, comma, root equals slash dev slash HDA 2. There would be no spaces at all in between there. You don't want to put any spaces in there. Now, you can... Well, we'll cover this in a minute. Anyway, each argument can accept up to 10 integers, integer arguments, or, you know, 10 different values plus one string. So just be aware of that. I really don't foresee anybody ever getting to the point of needing more than 10 integers for each argument. Subsequently, is if you need more than 10, you could just, you know, recall that same argument with the rest of the integers or parameters that you want to add. So, you know, you probably never, ever need to use more than 10. Okay, so how are parameters sorted? Now, there, of course, we talked about there's stuff that goes to the kernel, there's stuff that can go to a driver, there's stuff that you could pass to the boot time to change something like init, what gets run at boot time. So basically, the way it does is it processes the parameters and it looks for a special command. Some of those special commands include specifying whether to mount the root file system, start the first mount to be read-write or read-only, or whether we are passing a root file, you know, saying the root partition is this. That's a special command. That gets processed first. If it's not a special command, it looks to see if it's a setup function for a device or the kernel specifically. If it finds it something like no ACPI, so it doesn't initialize. If you were passing, like, back in the day when I was creating a router off of a 486, I had two network cards in there, and to specify which network card I wanted to be the ETH0 device or ETH1, I believe these were ISA cards, I had to pass to them the IO address and the IRQ address right off the bat, so it would be like IO equals 0x110, and I think it was interrupt equals 3, whatever the values were for that card, so that it would assign via the module that was compiled into the kernel, it would assign the device that matches that to ETH0. So that was kind of passing that, passing a parameter off to a module. If it's not something for the kernel or the module, it checks to see if it's an environmental variable in the form of something equals something. And if that's not the case, it passes whatever's left to the init application. For instance, if you were to type in the name of your kernel and single, or specify an init run level of 1, 2, or 3, that 1, 2, or 3 would get passed directly to the kernel. Now, remember, something like init equals slash bin slash sh would be an environmental variable being passed, so it wouldn't run. That would be like on a third step. It wouldn't necessarily pass that information in it because it wouldn't run in it. So it's just to be aware of that. Now, once you get the system up and booted, you could actually check what boot parameters were passed to the kernel and everything to your system by looking in the directory, looking in the proc directory at a file called cmd line, command line. That will show you the boot parameters passed to the kernel at boot up time. Now, I'm on my EEE PC right now, and if I go and look at if I cat my command line file, I see that what was passed to the kernel at boot time as boot parameters were the quiet read-write, VGA equals 785, which specifies a VGA mode, IRQ poll, and then root equals slash dev slash SDA, specifying dev slash SDA. And you might say, well, Dan, what do some of those mean? Where do I find out what kind of boot parameters I pass? Well, that's a great question. There's a couple of different places you could look. Okay, so let's go back, take a quick look at the boot parameters that were passed to the EEE PC. Again, the first one that we came upon was quiet. Now, what quiet means is do not pass or disable log messages. Do not enable logging for the kernel. So it disables logging messages. Nothing gets logged. That's quiet. All right. Now, read-write, again, if you recall, when the system boots up, it will first mount the root partition, read-write, or read-only, or whatever. This specifies to the kernel. It was specified the right reroute to mount it, read-write. VGA equals 785. That's an environmental parameter. That says to set the mode for VGA to 785. What that actually means, there's a nice little, usually a write-up in the grub menu list, or I believe on the Wikipedia, and the how to boot parameter how-to specifies what those modes are. And what I can tell you about 785 is, so if you look in that file I specified, we're saying that we're looking at 785. And what 785 says to do is to set the frame buffer resolution, VGA mode, to 64K and at 640 by 480 screen resolution. So it's a little higher than 16. It's 64,000 kilobytes, 64K. Now, if we wanted to go 800 by 600 at 64K, we would specify 788. A setting of 795 would be 1280 by 1024 at 16 megabit color, 16 megabit color, 60 million colors. So, you know, that's pretty simple right there. Again, you could probably find that in your grub menu list or on the boot parameter how-to. Now, the next one we have is IRQ poll. IRQ poll will force the kernel to search for all handlers for an interrupt that that it finds that is not handled. So it'll pull the IRQ for that. And finally, the last parameter is root equals dev SDA1. So it sets the root to the device SCSI disk A partition 1. So it's the first SCSI disk on the root partition. Now, where can you find a lot of this information? What boot parameters that you can pass? Well, you're going to have to cull some of this from different resources. One, you can rack your brains out trying to pick through the sources for the module or kernel section of the kernel that you want to reconfigure or pass a parameter to. You might find it in the top of the source code. You might find it in the middle. You might find it at the end. It's really difficult to find a lot of these things in the source code, unfortunately, which is why the kernel-parameters.txt file in the kernel documentation is a godsend for a lot of this stuff. It is a wonderful utility. If you have your kernel sources, you go into the documentation and look at the file kernel-parameters.txt, and that'll list probably the majority of the boot prompt parameters that you can pass and what they mean and some of the different values that you could pass to them. Read the how-to, the kernel boot prompt how-to is a great place to look at some of the more common parameters that one might pass. And it's a fairly old document that gets updated with some frequency. So a lot of the information in there, while some of it may not be applicable to modern systems, is still very valuable and will give you an idea as to what you need to do. And of course, you know, if you're having a problem with your system, look at the forums, mailing lists for the distribution that you're using, and chances are there may be something, if you're having a problem booting, that you, or hardware being detected properly, that you could pass to the boot prompt to assist this. Now, I said to you before that if the module is not compiled into the kernel, that you wouldn't pass parameters to it. And that is true. There's a different way of passing parameters to modules that haven't been compiled into the kernel. We're going to cover that at another time, but you know, just a little nugget of information for you that you could take away is there's a couple of different files depending on the system, how your system is handling this. it used to be a file called modules.conf or conf.modules that was handled. Slackware used to use that. I think it still does, actually. The rc.modules file would call that modules.conf, or Slackware's rc.modules file had a list of all the different modules that it would probe for, and you can uncomment a section in there. Like if you had a certain sound card, you could uncomment that, and it would automatically probe for that card using the values there. You can call them manually using the mod probe or the insmod command. Mod probe is better to use. So you wouldn't pass those parameters off to the modules. Now, of course, there's other systems like UDEV that handle some of this in the hot plugging, where you would specify the different parameters in their configuration files, but those are for another day. So today we just talked briefly about the Linux boot prompt and what stuff you could pass there. A few other things I want to reiterate to you is that if you hose your system, you can't get into it, you forget the root password or something, sometimes you can get back into it and fix your system by booting into the single user mode, which would be the name of your kernel, and then you could pass either the number 1, or sometimes it allows you to go in there by typing in single, S-I-N-G-L-E, and it'll boot into single user mode, and you can do stuff like run FSCK on your disk, fix your, do a partition check, get into stuff. Now, a lot of distributions these days, modern distributions, require you to log in as root. It provides a root password to get into the single user mode. So if you forgot your root password, you're going to have to go in there another way and wipe out your root password, or change it by editing the password file from another distribution. Anyway, that being said, you could also pass, you'll get into single user mode by passing init equals slash bin slash sh, and that will pull up a shell instead of running init and allow you to run a bash shell just like that. So that is basically the boot prompt how-to, and if you have any questions, email me at dan@thelinuxlink.net. And if you have any comments, either post in the comment section on Hacker Public Radio, or send me the comments, dan@thelinuxlink.net. I wish you a wonderful day, and thank you for your patience on this, and I hope it wasn't too choppy and disjointed. Have a great one, and enjoy your happy hacking.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.